Sucks that Cobra Kai is such a badass name.
What if we just keep that? We spell our Cobra with a K. They can call us Triple K.
Like KKK?
Yeah, it's probably a bad idea.
Unfunny Nerd Tangent.
Hello and welcome to episode 112 of Unfunny Nerd Tangent. My name is Greg, aka Captain Boomerang. And no, I'm not the guy with the ponytail in your Vietnam flashback, although that would have made more sense. No, I'm your host today as we take a look at season 3 of Cobra Kai. With me, as always, to discuss the latest adventures of certain karate kids. He's still trying to perfect that giant red mohawk, but he might have to settle for the back tattoo instead. And after fighting his way out of a coma, he learned to walk again just in time to see a Dee Snider concert. But he's at least thankful it was Dee Snider and not Zack Snyder. He's the Super Jew, Jared Rabinovitz.
Oh, yeah. If I have to choose between having to see a Zack Snyder film or not being able to walk, I'm choosing not being able to walk.
Yeah, it's the only way we can make you watch Justice League again.
I'm going to make you do it. No, Sensei.
And returning to redeem himself after trying to murder us all 30 years ago, he's back with honor to show us how to fight for what you believe in and cripple your enemies. And this time, a little wooden drum won't stop him. With his nunchucks, skeleton hoodie, and sexy bad girl attitude, he's Mateo Morales.
Put him in a body bag, Johnny! I am here. I am so happy having this season. I can't even wait for the next one to start.
So, yeah, well, I mean, it wasn't too long ago that we did our seasons 1 and 2 review for Unfunny Nerd Tangent. Basically, I know the show had been out for a few years, but we did our review based on when it came on Netflix and it seemed to really take off as opposed to YouTube, whatever it was. But so season 3 has returned relatively quickly compared to in the sort of general public's mind's eye kind of thing.
That's the difference between Netflix money and YouTube money,
Greg. Yeah, well, that's exactly right. So were you happy though? Because I mean, for me personally, like I watched season 1 on YouTube and then just never got around. I loved it, but never got around to watching season 2 on YouTube. And then when it went to Netflix, I was like, oh, great. And I rewatched 1, watched season 2 for the first time. And now it's like 4 or 5 months later and season 3 is here. So were you guys sort of happy that they released season 3 so close after basically buying it for Netflix?
I mean, we could be waiting for another season like we are as Rick and Morty fans. Yeah. Until the end of all time. Mm. Jared?
And part of this had to do with when they filmed versus when the deals went through. And it was just crazy because originally they were prepping to be ready to release in April. And then YouTube backed out and then Netflix stepped in and then they had it. And then it was a whole thing on the timing of the release. So I don't think we will be seeing quick turnarounds like that again from Netflix, you know, especially now given the pandemic and shit for at least the next year or two.
Talk to Mark Maron about that. Yeah.
Yeah. But apparently they're already, you know, starting pre-production on season 4. So they hope to be able to start recording. And I think they said right around March or April, they'll start shooting again. So yeah, it may be this time next year that we get season 4.
I would say probably either, I reckon mid to late January or potentially even February or something like that, based on, you know.
Yeah. But when you look at the gap between season 2 and season 3, you know, you're talking a couple years, you're talking a year and a half in release time frame there because of everything with YouTube just deciding this wasn't for them. They realized they weren't ever going to compete in that market. So
yeah, that's right. It's like there's already, that's not what YouTube's for, you know, like YouTube's just for random clips and reaction videos.
YouTube TV, what is it? Well, that was YouTube Red, right?
Yeah,
it was YouTube Red.
Yeah, they had YouTube Red. They had YouTube TV. They had YouTube Premium. They had too many different things.
Mm.
I like YouTube TV only because local stations to get watch college games from across the United States is a lot of fun. But YouTube Red, I mean, I watched another movie, a couple documentaries on YouTube Red, and everything seems so disjointed. And I think that the rest of YouTube Red suffered from that Wonder Woman thing where there was like no editor. Like they just director's cut everything.
Oh, yeah.
Which can be it can kill you, right? Not everybody loves your vision. Everybody likes a version of your vision.
That's right. Yeah. But I mean, to get into it, the season two ended with the big sort of high school battle, which I remember, which was awesome. And of course, Miguel sort of got kicked off the balcony, whatever you call it. And
no!
The slow motion Hans Gruber, as we like to call it. Yeah. But with his storyline this year or this season, I guess, it was a pretty much, I mean, I like the fact that he didn't wake up in the first episode kind of thing, or if he did, it was right at the end. It wasn't like he was there and everything's fine after, you know, like just in the off season kind of thing. Like, so his road to recovery, I thought they sort of at least spaced it out. What'd you guys
think? They had to, Greg. Imagine if they would have just crapped it all out and been like, yeah, he got hurt and he's back now. What?
Well, even still, the recovery time that he shows in this season is kind of ridiculous.
It's like one semester of school, right? That's what you're looking at?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the summer in a semester or something like that. It's not.
It happens at the beginning of year. It happens at school, and then the summer break happens, and then this season finished on Christmas.
Hmm.
So that was their timeline. Yeah. That's how they based it. Their
timeline. That's what I thought. Yeah. The season was quite spread out because, you know, like we'll get into his character later, but like Robbie, for instance, like he's in and then he's out of the correctional place, and it's like, all right, well, it's like, yeah, but then it was, the intent does seem to be that, like, oh no, he's been in there for months or a couple.
Can
months.
We start with Robbie?
Well, let's stick to Miguel. Robbie, let's stick to Miguel first, because
yeah.
I do think it was.
Like, aren't they tangled up together?
Well, kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
But Miguel being sort of like, it's weird because he is, it's like a love triangle, but it's not a love triangle. It's like a father triangle. You know what I mean? Because Johnny is actually Robbie's father, but he has more of a father relationship with Miguel and things like that. You know, like he essentially cured him of asthma in the first season. And now he's, you know, teaching him to walk again after, you know, taking him to a concert and getting his toes tapping and things like that. So, you know, I thought just it's interesting that they don't shy away from the fact that Johnny does seem to prefer or favor Miguel over his own kid, whether it's on, you know, it doesn't seem to be like a purposeful thing from Johnny, but it does, you know, he does bail out on Robbie more than he does on Miguel. So I don't know, how do you think that works as far as like a dynamic for the show, being that Johnny is more of a father figure to Miguel than he is to, I mean, it helps that he's Dick and Miguel's mother, I guess, too. So
no, I think that's just the side note of the buffet. The fact that he connects with Miguel is because he's got no baggage with him.
Mm.
Right? He's got baggage with Robbie. He's got there's so much built up like contempt between them that I don't think there was ever a moment they could. They tried. They got close this season. But ultimately, that was not going to happen. I don't think and you know what? For story development, if it did happen, it would ruin the whole thing.
Yeah, it really, you know, well, that's part of the thing is it's because Johnny was so incapable of being a father to Robbie, it's why he tries so hard with Miguel. Mm. And why with Miguel, it's like his do-over. And even though, you know, he's trying to not make the same mistakes, and by doing that, because things are so toxic with Robbie, he ends up leaning towards Miguel, who wants him there more. And, you know, when he's crippled, kind of needs him there more from some respect. But then he's got Robbie, who needs him to be able to help him, you know, not be, you know, a criminal.
But
it's like Mateo said, it's the years of baggage make that hard. It's not a straight, you know, one-to-one thing. It's not, you know, he started with a fairly clean slate with Miguel. And so it just kind of keeps going. And it does, it fuels the story. You know, you're not where you are at the end of season two, start of season one. If Johnny had a good relationship with Robbie, you know, that whole, the way it fractured and where Robbie ended up with Daniel and all that, it just, that crisscrossing of how all these stories intertwine and kind of the parallels is what drives this.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's not only, like you said, it's like Johnny's do-over as far as sort of being a dad with Miguel, but it's also his do-over as far as like karate and Cobra Kai in general and stuff, because, you know, he realizes that Kreese was wrong and it's the, you know, that's not the way I should have done it, but he still has those old teachings in his head. So, you know, the first season, at least he is sort of doing the no mercy and strike first and all that kind of stuff. And then obviously Kreese comes in the second season, and then, you know, he initially brings him into the fold, and then of course he's out again and that sort of thing. But yeah, I don't know. I thought they did a good job with Miguel. I thought if they were going to go all out and have like true balls, they would have left him in a wheelchair or whatever from now on, as like, there's an actual consequence to this horrific injury kind of thing. But I mean, in saying that as well, you would kind of rob the show of a good character and the ability to root for the underdog and the new karate.
Or he learns like a whole new art form, having no legs, has to go do jiu-jitsu or something.
Yeah. Just think the recovery period was, even when you think about the time frame, the recovery period is just so ridiculous.
Well,
it takes an athlete 9 months to recover from an ACL injury to get back into form. But in 9 months, he's recovering from the fact that he couldn't fucking walk. Like, they weren't sure he was
running. You're a liar, though, Jared. You're a liar if you didn't laugh every time that kid fell.
Oh, I laughed hysterically. It was great. Every time Johnny dropped him, the hospital scene when he went to go get it, where Johnny talks him into, like, he can be... get it and he can go and do it, and he just falls out of the hospital bed. I died. I thought that was great.
He's like, that's all right. That's all right. You felt like a champ. Yeah. But yeah, I think though, like, I mean, to me, I don't need the show, because the show is that kind of, I don't want to say unrealistic, but it is that kind of 80s heightened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Comic book is the wrong word, but you know, it is that sort
I'm
of thing.
Still waiting for a good montage. I haven't had a good enough montage.
Well, we still haven't had the fucking song yet either. So if that's not in the, if they don't use the fucking "You're the Best Around" in the karate tournament next year,
but okay, first off, that has to happen.
Yeah.
But this season's soundtrack was pretty damn good.
Yeah. But I mean, I as far as Miguel's injury and stuff, like, to me, the fact that they, in the script or in the dialogue or whatever, they mention the fact that, like, well, he needs an operation if he's any chance. And so he does, at least, he doesn't just sort of get better. He does have an operation. And then, so, I mean, it's at least something. Like, I can, that's enough for me.
You're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah. Like, that's enough for me as far as like movie making, TV, you know, fictional stuff. It's like, okay, they didn't say he's going to have this operation and here's the details, and then some doctor at home is like, "Oh, that takes 17 months of rehab." You know, it's like, you just say an operation, and they go, "All right," because you don't know what it is. It's just so. And but the point was, he needs money, and so they do the car wash and all that kind of shit. You know, and then that helped build more tension with
Cobra Kai, because car wash scene. Did you see the motorcycles those kids were riding? Come on. They're barely scraping by as is. Some of them are, and all this show up. Wasn't it a bunch of like CBRs?
Jixers. Of course it was
Jixers. Yeah, Jixers, and they're all new.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. No. I immediately, as soon as they rolled up, I looked at Sam and I went, where are these kids getting the money for $11,000 motorcycles in high school?
Kreese.
Like,
kid getting beat up. Grand. All I was trying to figure out is the financial implications of buying that many bikes and having that much insurance on those young kids. It took me right
Maybe
out.
Maybe they stole them.
Strike you don't first. Steal. Okay, if you steal a bike, you don't also steal the gear. Yeah. That's the thing. And then it fits.
There's another $1,500 worth of helmets, jackets, gloves. It's like, well, what the fuck? I was riding around in a $200 30-year-old motorcycle in high school.
And sometimes it worked.
Yeah. No, that thing was bulletproof.
Oh, man.
So from Miguel, we'll go to Robbie, because like you said, they are kind of intertwined with Johnny, as like I said, that sort of father figure triangle thing there.
Well, they're intertwined everywhere. So they're intertwined in the father sensei role. Yep. They're intertwined over Sam LaRusso. Mm-hmm. They're stuck. These kids are just screwed from every single direction.
And now they're sort of intertwined with, I guess, being a student of Kreese, you know, because Miguel was in the Cobra Kai with Kreese when he was at first, and that was part correct. Of the whole, you know. So,
I'm trying to remember what Japanese film there was that has this same. This season was great, and it leaned on five or six other storylines and major tropes mm-hmm. to make it work.
Yeah,
that's why Miguel had to walk.
Oh yeah, like I said, I think it would have been ballsy to say here's a permanent consequence for once, but then again, like you said, you do then essentially lose it. No, you don't lose the character, but you lose a lot of storytelling stuff because he's not going to do any more karate, and it's a show about karate. So, and Karate Kid's always been an underdog story. So of course, that's another underdog type of rise from adversity storyline, I guess.
I have to, before we dive right into Robbie so much, I have to say one more thing. They walked that scene where they threw the crutches and the wheelchair into the trash.
Mm-hmm.
All I could scream was, don't do that. Those cost a lot of money. Dude. They're throwing a wheelchair away. I'm like, there's some kid that needs it. Can you not throw that away?
But Robbie's sort of... I don't know. He's on the edge, that character. You could go different ways with him, but this season they sort of brought him in as, oh, he's a misunderstood and he's homeless now because he's kind of afraid of the consequences of
who's that actor? What's the kid's name that plays Robbie?
I don't know his name.
I know that he was also on Designated Survivor with Sutherland. He played the kid, the president's kid. But I would be upset this season if I was him.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
His script got ripped in half. The kid got had a 50 to 40% of the original lines that he had in every previous season.
Well, it seems like, they did the whole, like, oh, where's he going to be? He's homeless. We've got to find him and help him. And then, of course, Daniel kind of helps him by, like, he wants him to turn himself in, but then he essentially, like, sets him up and gets him arrested for his own good type of thing. And then we had him in juvie or whatever it is. It was like, okay, he's there. And then he has the battle with the other kid in there who's beating him up, and he sort of fights him. And then they don't snitch on each other and all that sort of shit. But then it's like, all right, he's out now. So I'm wondering, is that sort of the long con way? Because now, like how Cobra Kai recruited all these other sort of bad kids, you know, from like the friends of friends or kind of thing. Is that something maybe Robbie can bring those guys in? Like, they get let out of juvie and they're the new Cobra Kai guy, and they don't fuck around, because what were they in there for in the first place? Probably not. Like,
Greg makes the first season four prediction.
Yeah,
that'd be a good.
I went back to our last recording, and I have to give it to Jared here. Jared hits it on the head with his prediction in the last episode or the last review, that that Johnny and Daniel have to come together to beat Kreese.
Mm-hmm.
You were standing on that soapbox pretty tall in the last one, Jared.
I mean, that one was pretty easy to.
It's not a huge. Call. Yeah, it's not a huge. It's a good call, but yeah, like you said, it wasn't.
Greg, be nice to Jared. He doesn't get a lot of things right, so I'm trying to help him out here.
It's good because they didn't. I like that they did that. It wasn't straight away, though. You know,
he's not the Robbie of our group, but we all know who the Robbie of our group is.
But I mean, I thought that having Robbie sort of face the consequences and all that, it could be a thing where, yeah, that could be how far off, like how much of a heel turn are they going to do with him, if that makes sense? Because he's still, the whole season he was kind of like, oh, I'm on the fence, I'm not sure, I just don't want anything to do with LaRusso now because he got me thrown into juvie and my dad doesn't turn up and he favors Miguel and all this kind of shit. And now Kreese has sort of got his hooks into him. So how, I kind of don't want it to be that, I don't want it to be like Hawk 2.0 where it's like, he's a good kid, now he's a bad kid. Oh, he'll be a good kid again. Like at some point they need to do something different with that rather than just,
I don't, how do you, because you basically two-dimensioned the character, right? I think you took away all his depth from season two and you're just like, bad kid, juvie, loves Kreese, can't bring him back.
I mean, I would like to see something where he isn't redeemed and he does go full Cobra Kai with Kreese and he does become a full villain and perhaps he does something where he goes to prison properly, but then at the same time, like, and so the ending for that character is he goes to prison because he's sort of the ultimate victim of Kreese and it's not just another redemption story kind of thing. But you could then have that caveat that, yeah, he's this bad person, he's going to prison, but he sort of is okay with Johnny and that's sort of a character thing for Johnny where he'll visit him in prison or something like that. Because real life is like that. Not everything is wrapped up, you know what I mean? It's
always... But that ends up being kind of, if they can't redeem him, that ends up being a failure for Johnny and Daniel.
But that's okay too, because it's like not everyone, you know what I mean? People fail at things. Like you can't save
Greg, you're asking for a Greek tragedy.
Yeah. Just for one character.
On a Netflix comedy drama.
Well, why not though? But how much would that stand out? Like, this is the one kid we couldn't save, and it's
you
want
to go?
No, but this is the one kid Sopranos. The one kid you couldn't help is John. Is Johnny's kid?
Hawk's the only one like, that they could save.
Know. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's
like
right.
Hawk. Oh, we're jumping ahead, Jared. Damn it!
But I thought it would be interesting. Something like that would be interesting because it would be unexpected, and it wouldn't be that. And like the irony that the one kid Johnny couldn't save or set straight or whatever is his own. And so, or something like that, you know? And so it's that kind of, you would have a bittersweet kind of ending. Like maybe he comes to terms with him, but he comes to terms with him through the glass on the phone, you know, in prison kind of thing. It's not or something like that. So
that's dark, Greg.
It is, but
I mean, the only darker thing you could do is that there's a fight between like Johnny and Kreese and Robbie kills Kreese.
Well, there you go. He could go to prison for that.
But Johnny takes the fall for him instead and says, "I'll say I did it," so that you get.
Well, that would be that would be the tease, and you think that's going to happen, and then instead Johnny, but then Robbie, it redeems himself in a way because instead of running away from legal trouble like he does in season three, he steps up in season four and says, "No, I killed Kreese," and whatever it is. So. And then you would have it. See, there you go. I would do that.
All right.
And then it's a bittersweet. You kind of redeem him, but he still has to pay the consequences. And it's, you know, and it wraps a whole lot up. So, I mean, something like that. It's dark.
You're
going
to have to do some serious, serious writing. When you dump a character down a hole like they did, down a cobra pit.
Well, that's the thing. That storyline is quite dark. And they managed to balance it out with a lot of levity with other stuff, so you know it for this season. So I mean, I think something like that would be amazing, but I mean, they won't do that.
I think you're asking a lot, is what I think.
I am because it's a good show, and I want a lot from good shows. And I want a show to be, I want a show like this to actually take some chances and have the guts to do something like that. And you want that if done well, it would be fantastic.
But I like the show having the guts to just dig into the 80s bag of tricks and whip another one out. And it's been so good all season.
But that's the kind of thing as well where I think like you can really surprise people too, and a good surprise. Like, for instance, like, I mean, here's the Kevin Smith reference, kids, but like Chasing Amy, for instance, when it came out, we saw Clerks, we saw Mallrats. Okay, we know what Kevin Smith does. Here's the new movie from Kevin Smith, and Jay and Silent Bob will be in it again. Okay, Jay and Silent Bob are in it for like
a moment.
five minutes. And, you know, 35, 40 minutes into this sort of wacky comedy about a guy trying to date a lesbian, it gets real sort of serious. Like, oh, shit, this is, okay, there's things from her past he didn't know about, and he's a bit of a dick, and what the fuck's going on here? Like, it got, like, turned into kind of like a serious movie for a little bit, and people were like, oh, this is different. I was expecting more dick jokes, you know, but, like, it works, and then it sort of rounds out
really,
at the end, and it kind
really
of becomes
well-made dick jokes.
Yeah. But that's the sort of thing, something like that. And I mean, critically, I think Chasing Amy is probably the most like critically acclaimed movie Smith has done, because it was something a little different, and it sort of goes off in this sort of, like, I don't want to use the word tangent, but it does go off in this different direction than people were expecting, but in a good way. It's not just like,
Greg,
oh,
was it an unfunny tangent?
Yeah, well, it it was got serious. So so it's not just the case of like, oh, did you want to see Luke Skywalker train Rey? Well, guess what? We're not going to do that because fuck you, surprise. Like, just because that's what you expected. It's like, well, sometimes what you expect is good, but other times when you expect something, it's bad. So I don't know. It's a long shot, but that's what I would do with it. But I mean, I would still be happy for the show to maintain the sort of status quo that it does. But ultimately, I think they have a real chance to do something special and epic, different for Robbie and the whole thing. And it ties up so many issues, like it's Kreese and everything. Like, everything would come around and fit. So, but before we get going, I do want to mention that season 3 is missing Stingray, which wasn't a huge loss or surprise. I didn't think, I was like, okay, he sort of served his purpose for season 2, we get it. But Aisha is gone as well, and that was a big one where I was like, oh shit, okay, she's not on the show, all right. I mean, I can't say I missed her character, as in like, oh, I would have been so much better with her in it, but I was surprised, being that she had quite a bit of focus in season 2.
In the same 2-minute piece, they summed up why he's gone and why she's gone.
Yep.
Like, yeah, that guy doesn't work. He never worked here. Thanks.
Because the one chick from season 1 came back, the cousin or whatever. Whoever was, she was the one who ended up with what's his name, the dorky kid.
Yeah, oh, yeah, but you're talking about Yaz or whatever her name is. Signs as Kaz.
Yes. Yeah.
She was the one who was driving the original car. She's the original the one who crashed the car.
Yeah.
But she was gone for the summer. That made sense. School started again and she was back.
No, because she wasn't there in season 2 for the big fight. She wasn't there in season 2 at all.
I thought she was there. I thought the whole front wedgie thing was in season 2.
Then at the end of the school year, then she left to go away.
Yeah.
And she came
She's
back
so embarrassed and mortified, and then she left, you know.
She didn't hang out with any of her friends, and that's why she was never a part of that.
Yeah, I thought that whole front wedgie thing was in season 2, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
I thought she wasn't.
Jared's Googling front wedgie.
Don't do it.
Never. No.
Don't do it.
I do think it's weird, though, because they're just sort of like, oh, okay, so Stingray, he never worked here, so we got rid of him. Yeah, great. Okay, good. Don't need any more.
And then Aisha's family moved?
Yeah, it's like her family was so upset about the brawl that they moved her away and put her in a problem.
Which was easier than Aisha's agent didn't want to pay the 5 to 10% increase because of her popularity.
Yeah, she got George McFly'd.
Yaz was not in season 2.
Okay.
So. Yeah,
she wasn't at all?
No, she came back. That's what I thought, and I thought I had seen that. Yeah.
So it took longer to recover from a front wedgie than it did from a broken back or whatever it was. That's the real lesson.
You don't understand the 80s then, Greg.
That's right. But yeah, I did. I mean, did you think did you miss Aisha, or was it just like, eh? Because I at first I was surprised, but then I don't really think the show would have been any better with her.
Well, there's no female balance now.
Mm.
Who's the fulcrum in the relationship?
Yeah, you don't have the middle, that middleman, I guess.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term. Yeah.
But I don't know that they'd have done a ton with that this season, just because of kind of how it ended up working out. Like, and they said, the producer said, you know, we'd consider bringing her back in future seasons. It just didn't fit this season.
Well, when you have so many extra characters coming in as well, like we said, we'll get to it, but the Okinawa stuff, Allie, you know, those sorts of things, it all does eat up time. And I mean, it would be, I mean, I much prefer the fact that she's not in the season at all than just being there, you know, in the background or something. Like, that's a bit, you know.
To that point, if you weren't going to do anything with her, there's no...
Do you guys feel that the lineup of the episodes was tight? Could they have fit another episode in or two?
I think so. I think they could have, depending on...
They always could have.
Yeah.
But what more was there to explain?
Well, no, you would just expand things a little bit. You wouldn't have to be so... Like you said, he wouldn't be fixed from a broken back or whatever it was in four episodes. It might be
eight. What, does he go to another concert?
Well, yeah. He goes to watch Justice League. Right? He's like, fuck this. Like, and he gets like, so up and walks out.
Watch out! Or he falls asleep at Wonder Woman. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Too soon. but the Sam Tory thing, like we said, with Aisha gone, I guess that actually works, I think, with her missing, because now that Sam sort of has these panic attacks or PTSD or whatever about almost being whatever slashed in the face by Tory, if Aisha was there, she would have someone to talk to about it and like a friend. So she doesn't have that. So it does.
Or she would have had someone to protect her or get in the way, or
that's right.
Would have stepped up.
Without her there, she is kind of alone and has to deal with it. And that's why I guess she freaks out more, where she doesn't have anyone to talk. So it does actually kind of work the way they did it. But what do you think as far as the Sam Tory thing? Because it seems to be like almost a bigger rivalry than the Daniel Johnny thing. You know, like Tory wants to fucking kill her.
Tory is willing to commit like real crimes.
Yeah.
And it's like, breaking and entering into a private home, that's, you know, I know you're in California, so you don't have much risk of getting shot, but that's a little...
more than Danny.
Yeah, like, that was just, like, really, you're this serious, you're going to destroy somebody's house? Like, you're on parole. Like, and that's how much you hate this girl over a dude? Like,
yeah, because your boyfriend kissed his ex-girlfriend. Like, that seems to be what it's all from as well. Like, she saw Miguel and Sam kiss, and she's like, fuck this. I'm going to murder you.
I do have to give it to that actress. What's her name? Peyton.
Peyton. Yeah.
She was a Disney girl.
Oh, like, she's good. Yeah.
Yeah, she's got range.
Yeah. Yeah, she's good.
But it's also good because every time you see karate movies, you rarely have seen good female fighters.
Mm.
Right? Good and sincerity. Really, when Kill Bill came out, and he and Tarantino went for it, and like women who are completely independent, fine on their own, that can carry this entire fight scene, and they don't need anybody. Right.
Yeah,
and then the next one that came out after that was Hidden Dragon.
Crouching Tiger. Tiger,
Hidden Dragon. Mm-hmm. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Then you see two women again, right? Amazing Chinese wushu wire fu. So this is really good to see a proponent of that. This is like they're like the first of their generation, because it's coming down the line to have a good fighting scene that's sincere, where they definitely, one of them wants to just leave the other one dead and in a pile of blood.
And they sort of teased a little bit that Tori is kind of, I don't know, she's got some issues at home and things like that. And that's why she leans towards Kreese. And the fan theory seems to be, because Terry Silver keeps being mentioned, that we haven't seen her family yet, or we haven't seen her father, or like, where's her father? This kind of thing, that maybe her father is Terry Silver.
Who?
The guy from Karate Kid 3 with the ponytail.
Oh, that's right. Who, the one that that Daniel goes back to train with.
Yeah, and who is pretty and is who and who is heavily implied is the guy in Vietnam that say that Kreese takes his spot and fights. That's why I'll do anything for you, man. No problem, no problem. Because he saved me in Vietnam. That's who he's
calling at the end of the. Oh,
yeah. Because they tease it. Because the two guys in Vietnam. I mean, we'll get to it, but we tease it in. Well, we can do it now. But like, we get in the Vietnam flashbacks. There's like the nerdy, wimpy guy, and there's this other confident guy with the black hair and the ponytail, who everyone immediately goes, "Well, that's Terry Silver," because he looks exactly like him.
Yeah.
And then Swerve. It isn't. The other guy is implied to be Terry Silver, and that's who he's called.
Wait a second. I don't think it's even implied. I'm looking at Wikipedia here, and it flat out says Kreese gives a call to Terry Silver in order to solicit a favor for saving Silver's life.
Yeah.
So,
and that's what he does, and that's the sort of storyline of Karate Kid 3, is that Kreese is washed up and all that because Miyagi embarrasses him and, you know, he breaks his fists through the glass, and Miyagi does the whole like the nose, you know, all that shit, and he loses the students, and he's this washed up guy, and he gets a call from Terry Silver, who's this rich fucking, you know, billionaire guy, and he's the one that kind of brings back Cobra Kai and Kreese, and they find this psychopath kid Mike to, you know, torment Daniel all over again, kind of thing, and then that's sort of the rinse repeat. But that's so there's the whole Terry Silver thing for season four. And that's what I've seen online as well, is that people are speculating that that's how you tie Tori into that as well. Is that that's why she's already knows karate. That's why she's kind of has that fuck you attitude. And if her dad, like he's this rich billionaire, like he fucked off kind of thing, like he could kind of do a, you know, like a
but
poor rich girl kind of thing. But now she's, you know, psychopath.
Ooh, but
that's a hard link.
Yeah, and the whole thing with the mom having medical issues. Oof, that's a rough one.
If he was her dad and abandoned the family, kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, but I thought we got some other backstory on her. Maybe
I mean, I don't need it to be that. And I think you don't. It's a bit like Star Wars. Like, not everyone has to be somebody's uncle, but. It's just the talk that I've seen. I think you could just have like Tori is Tori, and that's her character. And then, by the way, this we're bringing back Terry Silver, and this is the other thing. His storyline is aligned with Kreese, or she takes. You could even just have Tori, not taking a liking to, because that sounds romantic or sexual, but like she respects Terry Silver because she doesn't have her dad's not around, and Terry Silver becomes the father figure for Tori, but in like a bad way, you know. So you have that mirror between Tori and the other kid, Miguel with Johnny, and Sam with Daniel, and then you'd have her with, because Robbie would be with Kreese, and then Tori would be with Terry Silver. So you'd have the four of them that all kind of have these karate kids with their father figure, and yet they're all, you know, two of them are bad and two of them are good kind of thing. So
I think that the writing is going to be flat enough for those characters that it's not going to go that deep. But man, if it was,
that'd be pretty cool.
Give me a call, Netflix, you know, no worries. We already rewrote Wonder Woman 3. So, yeah, why not? But yeah, no, I don't know. I thought in general, because that was Sam is one of the characters in the first two seasons where I was like, oh, okay, some Sam stuff now. All right, watch it. No, it's all right. Fine. Let's go to the other stuff. But now that she sort of has this battle back and forth with Tori, I think it's a lot more compelling than just, oh, is she going to be with Robbie or is she going to be with Miguel? It's like, oh, I don't really give a fuck.
The only thing that last fighting scene needed between those two girls was them to be on an island where someone kicks the ladder off.
You were going to say, oh, they just needed to kiss at the end. No.
No. I wanted them to replay the entire Okinawa fight to the death where he goes, no, Daniel-san.
Yeah.
This is not a tournament.
Yeah. It's for real. Yeah.
Real.
But I mean, we did go to Okinawa. So, I mean, Mateo, I know you're sort of champing at the bit to get to
more
that.
Than champing.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So what I loved about this season of Cobra Kai is how many times I yelled out, "Oh hell yeah!" every time something happened and changed.
Just in case anybody's wondering, he does this during movies at movie theaters as well.
I'll do it right in the middle of a movie theater. When he decided to go to Okinawa to save the dealership, and I had to, and I was blown away. I was like, I didn't read anything on the show before watching the season, because I didn't want any to know anything that happened in the production. And the fact that they went all the way to Japan was just mind-blowing, which when I in the research found out that even the original movie wasn't even shot in Okinawa. It was shot in Hawaii. So that was made it super, super special.
So you didn't know that? Had you seen the trailer, though? Like, you knew Chosen was
going to be. I wouldn't watch the trailer. I didn't watch
anything. Oh, okay. Right.
I didn't want to see. I totally blocked myself off because I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that to myself. I want every single moment to be
fresh.
Cool.
So when Chosen turns up, then they were like, "Oh shit!" Ah! Like total surprise, because I mean, he's in the trailer. So,
I didn't watch any of that. And even when he's getting up to see her dancing and teaching for the first time, I'm like, "No, it can't be. No, they didn't get this far. Oh my god, they got everybody."
I wasn't expecting to see Kumiko.
Great. Mm. That was so good.
Because I guess I was in the mindset, like, I wasn't expecting to see her because I wasn't expecting Daniel to go to Japan. I was expecting that Chosen would, like, rock up and, like, you know, I'm hearing about this Cobra Kai, like, fuck this, I found you kind of thing. Yeah, but it was the opposite. Daniel went over there, which is good.
It was so great. And I mean, I loved it. I loved that he got in the boardroom and lost. I love that he was drinking Suntory Japanese whiskey at the bar, and you can see the bottles of Hibiki and everything behind him. Like, oh, that is so great. And as soon as that bartender said, you know, we have ways of visiting with our past relatives, I was like, it's on, he's going back. I was and the setup, come on, he sees Kimiko again. And that for a second, I go, wait a second, they can't be that too much in love, right? Because they did it twice, they did it to each character. Daniel saw Kimiko. Johnny saw Allie. Like that. Zzz, zzz, zzz. But I felt bad because I love the wife, the LaRusso's wife, so much. She's such a good actress.
Amanda's a badass.
She's like freaking awesome. And her acting with her face makes me happier than her lines.
She also, when she gets pissed, she may actually be the scariest character on the show. Like the way she stood up to Kreis.
Well, I was going to say, if you look at it, I'm pretty sure she is the first person in any of the Karate Kid stuff, even the movies and everything, to actually like hit Kreis. Because
to strike him?
Miyagi fights him, but Miyagi doesn't punch anything. He beats the shit out of the kids in the skeleton outfits. But I'm pretty sure it's all, he ducks, you know, like when he fights Kreis in Karate Kid 2, he just moves out of the way and Kreese punches the glass. And then when they fight in the third movie, I'm pretty sure it's just Miyagi sort of moving out of the way.
Using his own wit against him.
It's not, I don't think Miyagi ever actually punches him in the face. So technically Amanda is the first person to actually sort of hit Kreese in the face.
So for a second there, I'm like, they're not going to go down this route, right? Because you could definitely see it in Daniel's eyes.
He just murders it. He just murders. Dead. Oh, I thought he meant Kreese. Kreese just murders Amanda right there. And then
just pull of blood, comes back.
She just disappears.
Like, I'm free now.
Oh, well, Allie's back.
We call Kimiko. Yeah. Hey, you want a green card? Okay. Come to America. So, man, we would have the worst fan fiction around Cobra Kai ever. But it's just so great that they have that. And then she sticks him with Chosen, comes and sits down. That was the greatest no speaking scene for what was about 45 seconds of them just quiet.
Yeah, his intensity drink. His intensity drink. Is great, that guy.
Want a drink? Yeah. I don't drink. Yeah. Oh, crap.
Just the, so... But no,
I thought I was hoping he would just beat the shit out of Daniel.
Well, Well, that's the thing, I guess. That's the other swerve that the show does. It's like, oh,
he kind of did.
Yeah, well.
Oh, he got him first.
Yeah, and you have him training and stuff like that, and then it's like, oh, no, I'm going to pretend to be friends, then I'm going to sort of ambush you, and it's like, oh, shit, he's done this long con on him to get him in the middle of wherever and murder him. And then it's just Lenny does the on the nose, which was like, ah, oh, I love it. It's great.
That was so perfect. Their ability to do callbacks and stuff like that is just great with this show. And they like fully lean into, oh, we're going to do everything possible to lean on the nostalgia. They're not, you know, I think we talked about on Mando how they did little things to kind of draw attention to, you know, tie in. This does the opposite direction. It's like, no, we're going to go full blown into everything you remember. We're going to bring it back somehow, and we don't care. It's not going to be subtle. It's going to be right in your face.
What I absolutely love on that, Jared, in the research that's getting done, the clips, I did not know that the flashback clips are not a part of the original movies. They're some of the stuff that was left on the floor.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Camera angles, things like that. So you remember it. Like, I remember that happening, but we didn't see that angle.
They did that in one of the Rambo movies. I think it must have been not the one that just came out a couple of years ago, but the one where, like, the first Rambo movie after a long time, like the one where he goes over to
Myanmar?
Burma or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one, which is, that to me, that's the most violent movie I've ever seen. Like, because it's just like, what's that, a baby? Throw it in the fire. Fuck it. Like, it's like, what the fuck's going on in this movie? And he just kills the fuck out of everyone. That movie, it was a bit the same. Like, they did him, he's asleep and he's having dreams, and you see flashbacks of the old Rambo movies, but then they actually show a flashback to First Blood and the original ending where he gets shot by Troutman, like where he grabs the gun. Goes to grab the gun and makes him shoot him, basically, because that's the original ending, is he dies. But, and so they sort of had that as a like an alternate reality dream kind of thing, which was cool because it was a cut scene and everybody knew about it. So that was cool.
I love that this whole way that plays out, the fact that Daniel sees Kimiko, that Johnny sees Allie, and they have this whole bit, is kind of like a premonition of what happens between a viewer and our love of Karate Kid, right? Romanticization of past relationships, right? We romanticize the hell out of how much we love Karate Kid. But was it as good as we remember? Or is it better because time passed and we've built up the mythology in our head like some old... like an old past love, we remember all the good parts because that's what was great about that relationship.
The Karate Kid, the first movie, that was part of my 40 for 40 when I did that with all my, you know, my 40 favorite movies and all that kind of thing. And so I had rewatched it and analyzed it and all that. And yeah, that still holds up. There's some, you know, I still think Miyagi's the guy in the chicken suit at the school. But anyway, we can get into that another time. Because he just appears from nowhere. Well, you never see who the guy in the chicken suit is. And then all of a sudden, Miyagi's there at the school and rescues him. It's like, yeah, he's in the chicken suit keeping an eye on Daniel. I've never seen that theory anywhere else, but I'm like, that's what's happening. But, you know, I think it holds up. But I think with the now, especially, you could go back and watch him again and then be like just before season 4.
You don't watch all of them.
I would recommend, this is what I would do, just before season 4 is about to drop, whenever that is, I would go back and rewatch the first 3 movies, because you would watch the first one and go, oh yeah, see, Daniel's not the fucking villain. Johnny started it. He fucking, you know, the whole bullshit of that theory as well. Then season 2, you would see Chosen. You go, holy fuck, like, that's right, this guy was a psychopath. Like, you would get all that stuff. You get the Kumiko stuff, all that kind of thing. Kreese being defeated in the first 5 minutes, which was actually, that was actually how the first movie was supposed to end as well. It doesn't just
end. Really?
Yeah, it doesn't just end with like, Mr. Miyagi, we did it. It was meant to then be, and then after that in the car park, this is what happens. But they were like, ah, you end on the you end on the winds, like Rocky, same director. Like, no, you end on Adrian, we did it. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Adrian, we did it. Mr. Miyagi, we did it. Same director. So that they then took that and went, well, that could be a good opening for the second movie. So they did that. But I would go back and watch 1, 2, and then 3, because then 3 will give you all the Terry Silver stuff. And so if he does turn up in season 4, you would then be like, aha, so that guy is the guy. I get it now. That's the guy that Kreese saved in Vietnam. And that's why he's doing everything for him in this movie. And it makes more sense.
Yeah. And so we rewatched 1 and 2 already. So we'll probably just do 3 before season 4 comes out.
The only problem with that is 3 is not a very good movie. That's the only problem.
Yeah.
But
well, that's why we didn't watch 3.
Are we not going to talk about the fact that they just got worse and worse and worse until this?
I'm sorry, they made movies after 3?
They didn't know. I don't know if there was. Do you even call them movies? What do you call a brazen attempt at?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't want to see Hilary Swank in season 4? Come on.
Who? In what?
But sure. Wait. But then you got Jackie Chan and. Will Smith's kid, right? What's his the one who believes in spirits and ghosts now and crystals? What's his name?
Jaden? Again, none of this sounds familiar to me.
Jared wiped it from his memory.
Yeah.
That's the Will Smith connection right there. See, the Will Smith connection is he pulsed you.
Oh, like, I was wondering why Will Smith was involved in this. Huh, that's interesting.
Jared's having his Westworld moment. It's like, doesn't look like anything to me.
Was there something with Hilary Swank? I thought you were talking about Million Dollar Baby and this was going to be boxing.
Oh, shit, there's a dark movie. We could do that. Ooh. If they do Million Dollar Baby in Cobra Kai season 4, holy
where fuck. Tori knocks her head against a...
Oh, yep.
I mean, were we really...
Then the one who goes to jail is Sam LaRusso? Oh.
And Johnny just ends up eating pie in a bar, miserable.
No, what needs to happen is Yaz needs to be the one to knock her off the thing.
Yeah. Oh, shit. But I mean, one thing with the Okinawa scenes as well, I thought was probably up there in the best scenes that of any of the 3 seasons, I think, was when Kumiko reads Mr. Miyagi's letter to Daniel.
Oh, yeah.
That was fucking amazing. And, like, that just brought so much, like, emotion back to the show and just, like, because every time anything comes up with Mr. Miyagi, everyone goes, like, oh, like, because it's that thing. Like, I've always said, Mr. Miyagi and Mickey from Rocky, they're the two guys in any movie you do anything they say and you'll do anything for. Like, they're the ultimate mentor, you know, characters. And, again, same director. Same sort of thing. So, but yeah, for him to be like, this is the letter from like the week Mr. Miyagi died. And then for her to be like, do you want me to read it? And he's like, oh, yeah. I mean, how has he not read? How has he not learned Japanese by now, Daniel? But surely, but I mean, whatever. He's too busy waxing the floor and painting fences. But that's what I really liked about that episode or those episodes as well in Japan. I thought that was brilliant the way they did that. Like, the show has so much respect for the Mr. Miyagi character, you know, like it's, you know, and Pat Morita, like that's, I love all that. I think it's great.
You, when you're talking about that, man, all I can think of is that episode of Community where they're doing the Pat Morita story where Ken Jeong plays Pat Morita.
Yeah.
You know, this is a deep reference. This is a deeply unfunny nerd tangent, but they do a show and they're like, and Ken Jeong's like, I have to be Pat Morita. I'm the Asian guy in this school. And they're like, no, it's a story about a man who fell in love and in World War II was a hero. And while he struggled to be an American and watch his family and interned in camps. And I'm like, and that's that love. Where I'm like, oh yeah, there's like a whole story there that nobody has decided to go through at all. And I was hoping there would be more of that in this. I was hoping that somebody would do a Pat Morita flashback.
I wish. I mean, he's in it quite a lot when they, you know, they do the flashbacks. It's like, oh, a bit of wisdom and stuff like that. And I think it actually helps with Daniel's character because he can't just go to Mr. Miyagi and fix everything. So he has to kind of take the teachings that were taught to him to then try and impart them on his kids and stuff like that. But it's, he's not as good as it. So that, you know what I mean? Because so, but, and that's his sort of internal struggle is like, I'll never be as good as Mr. Miyagi, but then that's okay. But then he sees like, if Mr. Miyagi, like if Miyagi was around, he would have fixed, the show would be like two episodes because he would have just fixed everything.
You fine. Wax on. You fine.
That's right. Always look I.
It's kind of like Luke Skywalker's not going to be Yoda. Just.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He went the different path.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a bit of the Obi-Wan thing, you know, is I thought I could train him as well as, you know, other people, but. Yeah. Nope. But the whole thing, this show likes to tease the fact that Johnny and Daniel are actually going to have a full-on all-out fight and they're sort of like ready to go and then something happens. So the show doesn't seem to want to give us that one-on-one fight properly. Like there's a little bit here and there every now and then. There's a bit of pushing and shoving and like last season there was a little bit of a, there was a kick here and there and that, but do you think that, that are they teasing that out or is that sort of, that's just a,
no, that's not, Allie killed that shit at the table.
Yeah.
You guys are both idiots.
You know what I think? I think this is going to be one of those ones where they need that last scene of the last show, whenever they decide to finish it. It's that Rocky Creed thing, the sparring match. And just, you never know who won. You just kind of go off with that. That's how this show has to end. There's no.
That's perfect.
That would be so great.
Yep. There you go. That is perfect. I hadn't thought of that at all, but that is amazing.
How'd you make?
Because I do have to say, when they were fighting those guys this time in the at the chop shop, there was one move when they hit the with basically total elimination from the eliminators in ECW wrestling with the leg sweep high kick. I was just like, yes, that was awesome.
Oh, yeah, I love the
perfect risk.
The buddy cop dynamic thing was great. Yeah, yeah.
Buddy cop was hilarious.
You do know you guys aren't cops, right?
But that scene as well where they are.
What?
That's it's funny too because Johnny sweeps the leg. But like, I like that too. That fight where they are in sync because you do see them for that split second being like, are you ready? It's like, yeah. And they know what to do. It's not like, and so they never really fought together before, but because they've trained and they're karate masters. But you gotta
give them the handle. They could have Jason Bourne the living daylights out of this to speed up the fight action, but they kept it straight 80s, wide angle, two shot, where you can see some of those kicks weren't that great.
No, well, that was my thing. The very first kick that Daniel does in season one, where he kicks the coffee cup out of the rival car dealership's guy, he kicks it out of his hands and it's meant to be, he spins around and kicks the coffee cup out of his hand as if like, ha ha, what a triumphant moment. And like his knee is bent like fucking anything, like a chair leg. And it's like, fuck, I could have done that. Like sitting here. Like it wasn't like, wow, he still got it. It was like, really? Fine.
But I think part of that was meant that way because it's part of he's just a corny 40-year-old guy doing karate.
True, it was impressive for everyone else, but for,
right, Mateo? Like,
you know,
hey, bro. How long has it been since I've actually had to sparred or gotten a fight?
When was the last time you were at the Capitol?
No, I've been in a debate.
No.
Freaking, you want to talk? We'll do an entire separate episode about how I feel about the invasion of my beautiful Capitol. God damn it.
Sorry.
You're breaking my heart, Greg. So, now, last time I sparred, Max is going to be 10. So, my last fight was 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you get amped to get crazy. And you know what? And that's what I'm living off of, watching them. And watching the kids fight is actually better than watching the adults fight because some of those kids can whip.
Well, and that's the thing as well with a lot of the fight scenes, especially that fight scene with the in the chop shop with Daniel and Johnny. Like it's okay that all their fight moves aren't perfect, and it's okay that some of it looks awkward and some of it looks like a bit stilted and things like that, because
they're
older. It's kind of meant to be. Yeah, like they're older, they're in their 50s, and like, and then when you look at it, the guys they're fighting, they're not any kind of karate.
Yeah, but look at Kreese. Like Kreese has got them both by 15 years, right?
Yeah, but Kreese was always...
Martin Cove is a brick!
Yeah, and Kreese has always been like, you know, top level kind of thing. So, you know, it's like in the first movie, Miyagi's wherever old he's meant to be, and he's beating the shit out of the teenagers. So it's, you know, it's not about... It's like Yoda, you know, it's not about the age and all that sort of thing, but...
What's hilarious, I guess, is that Ralph Macchio was 5 years older than Pat Morita was in the first film.
Oh, that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
What the hell has he been doing for the last 20 years that's kept him his skin in such perfect shape? And to that point, Elizabeth Shue, like, Allie, her flashbacks and her current shots, like, it's the same photo.
Well, her coming back was a bit of a surprise as well, because I hadn't heard anything about her coming back. And
you didn't believe she was going to come back? Come on, man.
I wasn't sure. I thought they left that open at the end of season two so that then they could basically go, this is where we could go, but obviously we need to do negotiations with the actress and agents and things like that. So if it never panned off, they never said, Ali's coming back. It was just, oh, Ali sent him a friend request and he didn't see it because he threw his phone away. So that could be that kind of like, oh, what could have happened, but you missed out because, you know, and that could have been the end of it. But obviously, I mean, she's not on the boys really anymore. So I guess she was free and it helped. I don't know whether she would have turned up for season one or maybe even season two, but now that it's this phenomenon, I think it's like,
dude, she was so good in the boys. Come on. You gotta hand it to her.
But I think now that Cobra Kai is such a phenomenon, I doubt they'll have problems bringing people back unless they're really just like the Terry Silver guy, he still might not show up. I don't know, because
what's he doing now?
He's sort of retired from acting and stuff. So I don't know.
Is he actually a million?
But a lot of these people have kind of been out of acting and are coming back to do it. So
I mean, it's not like they're in high demand or anything, but still, I think, you know.
Well, she is,
yeah, of course. But, So that was good to see her. I don't know. The only thing I thought with Allie, and I don't know whether you guys agree, she seemed a little bit out of character to me. She seemed more Elizabeth Shue as opposed to Allie, but then she is 35 years older. Yeah. It's a different thing. So
she's getting into a divorce. She's a separated mother of two?
Yeah. And
that changes people, Greg.
The only thing I thought was it was okay. It was nothing wrong with it, but the whole thing where she was like, there's your story and then there's your story and then there's in the middle, there's the truth. It's like, no, but
the truth where she points at herself.
But she was never caught between Daniel and Johnny. It's just that she used to be with Daniel, used to be with Johnny, and now she's with Daniel in the first movie. There's no love triangle there. It's just...
But that's what she's talking about. The truth is, you two thought you were fighting over me, and I was never in play.
No, that's true. Like,
that's the truth. The truth is that your story, my story. The truth is, I didn't care enough for you to feel like you were fighting over me. Which I think that hurts the most. Which leads to Amanda going, "You're my hero." That was as a person who's spent an evening with both my wife and a few ex girlfriends. Whole scene.
Your wife loves those, by the way. Really, she really enjoys those.
My wife has great stories about spending evenings having dinner with my ex-girlfriends. Oh my God. And so watching that scene at the country club made me shiver. I felt so bad for those two characters. Like, oh shit, man. That's the worst feeling in the world.
I like the fact too that they teased the like Johnny turns up in the white jacket and then almost gets like bumps into the waiter with the pasta and he's like, hey, like, watch out, I'm wearing white here. It's like,
nice jacket, Scarface.
But just I just love that because that's what happens to Daniel in the first movie, like, you know. So I
oh my God, I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, he's like, watch out, like, I'm wearing white here, what, are you spill pasta all over this? That's what happens to Daniel. So I like that. That was a nice little tease. Because it's like, that's going to happen to him now. And then, no, he's ready.
So for Mateo's mildly misogynistic moment of this podcast, I got to hand it to Daniel because Daniel won that. Daniel's wife is, I think, might be hotter than Ellie.
Well, she's a lot younger.
Cooler.
She's only about 30.
A touch younger. And she's business savvy. Come on. She's the one really running the dealership. Yeah, it's all her. He scored.
Yeah. He did not lose on that one for sure.
Not at all.
He also didn't knock up a drug addict. So, you know, there's that going for him too.
Womp, womp.
I like that they called back to the beginning of the second movie as well, where it's sort of like the Bond movies, like there's a new girl in every movie. So how do we write out Ally? It's like, oh, she left me for some football player, and then he gets on the plane and goes to Japan with Miyagi and meets Kumiko. But I like that they sort of brought that back. It's like, yeah, actually she didn't. You just heard that and overreacted. And like, so Daniel then is he also ruined he also needlessly ruined his relationship with Ally over a misunderstanding and nothing, yeah, the same way Johnny did. So that was perfect in that scene, because then you've got these two guys that could have both been with Ally the whole time, potentially for the last, you know, 30 years, had they not been idiots, you know, or just fucked up over stupid macho karate shit kind of thing.
It goes back to that thing I'm telling you about. You romanticize all these horrible things that happened to you, and you make them nice and sweet in your memory.
And then like you said, having Amanda be the one that's just like, yeah, you guys are fucking stupid.
Did they catch you up on their bullshit karate rivalry thing?
And oh, see, yeah.
She
was like that with, I forget the character's name, Miguel's mother.
Oh yeah!
In the last season where they meet, and it's like, how do you two know each other? And she's like, oh, they have competing karate dojos. It was just like, yeah, it's just like the most. She just sums up the whole show in one sentence, and it's so ridiculous.
I love that they give all of the women, all the female characters in this, the surrounding adult female characters, that's sort of like total clarity of the situation. Like, yeah, all these adult females clearly understand that you guys are all batshit crazy.
They would have had the situation fixed in like two episodes. Yeah.
two coffee dates. It would have been over. We figured this whole thing out.
Yeah.
No.
No, stop it. Go home. All right. She does that too. She turns up. It's like, why are you fucking training here? Like, no more karate. Oh, we just thought we'd train. No, go home. And kick some. Then they leave. And it's like, yeah.
Fixed. Fixed it. Thanks.
And then Sam's like, oh, mom, you don't understand me. So
as we move, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to give a major shout out to the camera work again for the fight scenes.
Yeah.
So that single line French fighting style, single camera move and swing in a single shot. Oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a call out to some of the best, like, some of the best fight scenes ever, where you get that nice, smooth kick to kick. They did a great job choreographing it in the end of season two, right down the hallways, up the stairs, no hard cuts, smooth, boom, 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 mat, bah, 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 bah. That kind of choreography done right and someone doesn't get hurt is amazing.
Yeah, just the timing of it would be like, well, you need to be doing stuff over there, but then you guys need to be doing something already, like behind me, because I've got to swing around with the steady cam, and so you need to be ready to go. Like a whole production. It's like a 360 production kind of thing, rather than just being like, okay, you stand there and we'll go. You know, it's
those the timing actors, of it and
stuff. When it's in
those
one
kids
shot.
Are moving around fast. They're either punching at stuff, grabbing at stuff, throwing it at each other. By the time we do another for season four wrap up, we got to know who this choreographer is.
Yeah.
We're going to send some tweets his way and be like, dude, we want to talk to you about excellent fight choreography and how many people actually got hurt.
Yep. It's interesting because the way they've done it, it is kind of like those Jackie Chan movies where everything's 100 miles an hour, but everything's perfect in timing and
smooth.
Yeah. Without being sort of I mean, it's a little bit comical. It's a little bit over the, I mean, it is over the top, but it's still, it's not, oh, this is just so ridiculous, you know. It's not Evil Dead, you know, like, oh, look out. but what about that final battle, like you said, where, like Jared, you were saying about, like, the home invasion, essentially. I was like, really? Like, this is pushing it a bit. Did you feel, I felt it was a little bit, it wasn't as good, and it did seem like a little bit of like, well, let's just repeat what we did at the school, but, you know.
It did, and then, like, it just seemed a little much, and especially, I didn't like the Hawk turn in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt so forced, and it's like, everybody has to have redemption. Like, that could have been something that, you know, they started to tease it this season. They could have played that out a little bit more in season four, just because I feel like that's a bigger move than it got. They didn't give it the attention it deserved because the fight was all going on. But then I like the one, the Tori Sam fight at the end was very good.
With the nunchucks. Like
with the nunchucks.
And the bow staff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she had the skeleton hoodie, which was cool. A nice little.
Nice call out, Greg. That nice was freaking epic. Mm.
Just as a little like, oh, yeah. You know, just without being like, you know, over the top, but just like, okay, if you get it, you get it. Great. You know, if not, that's cool. So, but
personally,
yeah.
I've been watching for the use of every weapon linked to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So we've had nunchucks, we've had a bow staff, and we've had
a sai. Someone picked up, yeah, Kreese had the sai, or Johnny was going to stab him with the sai. Yeah.
He needs you to, don't no, stab but you, anybody.
That's
who
right.
Stab somebody with a sai? So I'm sitting here watching this fight going, you don't stab somebody with a sai.
Nope.
But he does use it correctly once. So Martin Cove must have good martial arts background. Because he turned it sideways and used the back end.
Mm.
I was like, oh, wait, he might actually know how to use that. But then he goes in and he's going to stab him with it. I'm like, no, he doesn't know how to use it.
That always, I never knew as a kid. But now, nowadays, when I see stuff like with Ninja Turtles and Raph is fighting with the sais as if they're like little daggers. The only one to get that right was that when they redid the show in 2012 with the Nickelodeon CGI show. Raph in that uses his size as more of like disarming kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so like
it's exactly what they're used for.
It's to twist an arm this way and then you can clack them and stuff like that. They're not little stabby stabs, you know, like that was cool. So
that handguard, Jared, do you know how to properly use a sai?
No.
Okay.
What the fuck am I doing running around with sais for?
And again, the whole thing with Raph and the sais is because he's the turtle's version of Wolverine. So when you hold the sai, you know, with your fingers around it, you get the three prongs. It's like
nobody ever does that.
Nobody
ever holds a silent.
But you do that, and that you then subconsciously, when you get all the Raphael Leonardo dynamic, it's Cyclops Wolverine. It's, you know, yeah. But
for our listeners, a sai is meant to be able to take away a Wakizashi, Tanto, or live blade from anybody swinging it at you, and those little guards are meant to hook the blade and stop you from getting hit in the face with a live blade, so and stop your hands from getting cut open.
And if you ever lose one, you have to obsess about it
because you have the other one,
and then go and get it back in the subway.
Go find it away. Oh, nice reference.
But yeah, Hawk redeeming himself like that. I wasn't totally against the character sort of coming back to the light side of the Force or whatever, but like. Just the way it was like in the middle, like you just stormed this house and just beat the shit out of seven of these guys. And now you're like, oh, I'm going to turn in the middle of a fight. Like, yeah, they could have, I would have much preferred it if he had somehow, I don't know, fucked up or he got hurt or something badly this time. Not to the extent that we have to have four episodes of him, you know, in the bed, but like maybe he got hurt and the Cobra Kai kids like abandoned him or something. And he was just like, oh, fuck this, you know?
Or even just Kreese doing something to him where, you know, we kind of got it teased with those Kreese bringing in the new guys, the we need athletes thing again. And Hawk just beating the crap out of him, but something more where it actually has a consequence to Hawk that makes him, you know, start questioning it. Not just a, are we sure about this in the middle of a fight?
Yeah. He at least needs to change.
It didn't build enough.
He at least needs to change his mohawk back to blue if he's going to be a good guy again.
Yeah.
because the red, the red is that's come on. He went to the dark side with his red saber, and now he's come back, so he needs a blue one.
I'm gonna hang with you guys on this one, man. That why so quick? There should have been more build up to that moment.
Yeah,
or more
that, or
delete us there.
I mean, did he rescue? Oh, I guess it was Dimitri that was getting. Is it Dimitri? Is that his name?
Dimitri was about to get broken again.
Yeah, and it's like, oh,
they wanted him to come over and bust his arm again.
See, he should have run over him and like, don't break his arm. I'll break his arm again. Fuck it. You know, like, go hardcore about it or something. But like,
wait, that's not in the script.
It is now with my side. I'll wrap it around your wrist and crack it, show you how it's done.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I thought it was just a bit rushed, and I don't know. It wasn't.
You know what? No, that's it. That was the extra. That was the extra episode we needed.
There you go. Yeah,
we needed him to Hawk to resolve by something. Something happened to had to happen.
Yeah, and because it looked like it was going that way at first when they, like you said, they brought in the other kids. The I don't know his name, like the Asian kid that comes in. And he was like the bully in the first season, and then they bring him into Cobra Kai. And
Kyler.
There you go. Yeah, him.
Kyler.
And then the other guy that's like, oh, yeah, like the fatter bloke who, you know, Hawk beats the shit out of. That's the kind of, like, you could have gone more with that or something. I don't know. Maybe he hurts someone. Well, he could have gone.
Hoping it would be more like, I could feel that Hawk was coming back, but if I would have had to pull out an extra bottle episode, it would have definitely been Hawk, like, reminiscing, either moving some stuff, and then here's boxes of all the stuff of him and Dimitri at science camp and all the things like that and everything that he lost.
Well, even in that fight, if you're going to turn him in that fight and in that episode, you could have had him about to break Dimitri's arm again, but this time he doesn't, because Dimitri kind of appeals to their friendship or something like that, and he's like, oh, yeah, actually, I won't do it or something, you know, and it's... And then go on, and then the rest of them are, you know, go on, break his arm again. It's like, no, fuck you, like, whatever. And then it's a bit more like
something.
I felt bad, because he does feel bad about it afterwards. So now when he's sort of in it again, it's like, actually, no, this time I'm not going to do it. And, you know, because I'm deciding to, not because I feel I have to because of Kreese's influence or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, it felt rushed to me. But whatever. It's not a mark against the show. It was just like, not everything can be perfect, you know? So
it just seemed to be that they were just trying to add one extra little thing that just didn't need to be there. It's like, it didn't do anything, and it didn't have the weight that should have.
Yeah. And I just think as well, see, that's another reason why I don't want Robbie to be like, oh, he's bad boy. Now he's good boy again. It's like, we've just done that. Like, so, you know, I don't know.
If he changes sides again, I swear I'm throw something at my TV.
But the Kreese flashbacks, we got a lot more than I was expecting. I thought it was just going to be one or two, but then did you like the fact that they sort of faked us out? We were like, oh, that guy in the football jacket's clearly Kreese, and then like, oh no, he's the waiter.
Did you get you got faked out by that
at first? Because he's like,
come when on, they man.
Walked in, he was exactly like him. He's acting like him. He's the big guy, you know. He's talking like Kreese. He kind of looks like Kreese. He's got the girl and then the buddy, and you know, and then the waiter is the little nerd, and he's tripped him over, and he's a bully. And it's like, well, it's meant to be him. And then
okay,
the swerve is, oh no,
it's I can the definitely other guy. See it.
So, yeah, I think that was the intent anyway.
All of Back to the Future, okay. Because that's definitely what it felt like.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, McFly. But the Vietnam stuff, though.
Which also had Elizabeth Shue, didn't it?
Yes, in part two and three.
Is she just in everything?
She's in part two and three, yep. She's the lesser of two Jennifers, is what I like to say.
Whoa. Yikes. I love the throwback scene. I love watching Kreese become alpha a-hole. But, and I love what was in the pit.
Yeah, that was good. Because at first I was like, ah, oh, they're not going to show it because it's just like they've just deer hunted it or something. And it's just fucking like spikes or some shit. And they're like, we're not going to go that far and show you impaled, you know, soul.
Because that would have been great. Because my wife said, what's in the hole? I'm like, in Vietnam, those are tiger holes. They put slices of bamboo waiting for American soldiers to fall in pits. Yeah. And when he says it's deep enough, I was like, they're going to show somebody get spiked. And then it was the cobras, of which, once again, the nerd spot popped in. And I'm like, wait a second, that's a yellow boa constrictor. That's Burmese. I don't know how they got a Burmese python in Vietnam and a lot of them.
In case everybody didn't know, Mateo's a little bit of a snake charmer.
Oh,
But do you like? Do you think it was a bit over the top, though? The whole "we're gonna make you fight," like, "oh, here's the evil Viet Cong," or you know, "we're gonna make them fight each other," and I don't know.
The over the top part was is right as the helicopters arrive is when he's like, "no, I'm just letting you go."
That's the part I liked because he was.
That's
like,
the part I love the most, Jared.
He was like, he didn't have to kill him. I'm going to fucking murder you and get away with it. Nah.
But it was a psychopath. Yeah, that dude was a psycho.
Mm.
And from that moment, the whole sociopath, so basically his commanding officer created a sociopath the moment he told him his girl was dead.
Yeah, that was weird too. Like, because when he got the letter, he got the letter to say, okay, don't tell him. I just thought.
Yeah, I thought it was Dear John. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was just. I thought it was Dear John. I've gone back to the other dude, the football guy, or whatever. Because you're not here, fuck you. Like,
or I'm Frango, like, I'm getting married. Bye.
Yeah, and it's like, oh no, she died in a car crash. It's like, oh.
Okay. Which is worse? Which letter is worse?
Probably the death one, I would think. Much worse for her. But yeah, I mean, in general, I liked the Kreese flashbacks. I thought they were a little bit hit and miss for me personally, but I liked that we did actually get some development for him. It's not just, he's just an asshole because, you know.
So he had, the hope is that, okay, so if you're taking the writing aspect of it, is there some good left in Kreese? Or did the Vietnam just wipe it out?
I think flat out murdering the commanding officer when he could have saved him that's his irredeemable moment.
Like that was his Anakin moment.
That's his,
like, nope, he ain't coming back from this.
But Anakin does come back eventually. So it's you know, Virus. I think that's to show his, like, no, he went the wrong path and he made the wrong decision. And morally he made the wrong decision. And that's why he's so ingrained in it, because he felt that he did the right thing. And so the strike first, strike hard, you know, mercy is for the weak, all that kind of shit. It just, he took what that commanding officer was teaching him with all that kind of stuff, but then even he wasn't extreme enough, and Kreese took it to the next, like, Kreese knows what you need to do. What's, you know, because like you said, I've been in Nam and I've done this and I've done that. It's like, well, yeah, now we know what he's actually done. So, because they did. Yeah,
the only person he actually killed in Nam was his commanding officer.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Because they
teased in the season two that, like, maybe Kreese isn't a war guy at all. He was enlisted, but he was just kind of, there's a lot of photos of him, but I mean, there's photos of him in a uniform, but he didn't actually, you know, it's a bit like, I wondered if that was a jab at Jesse Ventura, you know, I'm a Navy SEAL and I went to war, and it's like, yeah, never actually saw combat. So that's not to knock him, but for him to be this expert in the military, and it's like, but you see military people who are like, oh, like I went and actually fought in the war and did this and that and blah, blah, blah. So I wondered if that was not.
Well, I don't know how things are in Australia, Greg, but we have combat veterans and regular veterans.
Oh, I'm not knocking any of them. Like, any service is service.
And we also have keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
We have keyboard warriors.
They're the most.
And we have another thing called Stolen Honor, which that's the thing that you're actually getting to. Mm. Stolen Honor is where you were never in the military here.
Valor.
Stolen Valor.
I mean, yeah, you don't have to, don't get me wrong, you don't have to see combat to provide service and things like that. But I just thought, but Jesse Ventura.
Mateo provides service every day.
But I think,
dude, are we on this again?
I think Jesse Ventura gets mixed up sometimes as to like what he actually did in the Navy SEALs and then what he did in Predator. You know, like it's kind of like, hang on, like, wait a minute. Like, whoa. You know, that one time we were stalked in the jungle. It's like, dude, like fucking, you know, then I'll go back dude, to Greg, Minnesota.
You've got to do an entire podcast with that voice. You're pretty dead on.
Oh, the Jesse
Ventura.
It's just Minnesota. You're like, I'm from Minnesota. That's just everything he says every 5 seconds. But that's what I wanted. It was that kind of thing. But Kreese basically was like, okay, I don't have to kill you. I'm choosing to kill you. And that was like, okay, he's, you know, the no mercy thing was a literal mantra for him in that thing, especially, I guess, because he had sort of, the commanding officer had kind of almost laughed off his girlfriend's death too. So, which is pretty harsh. But having Kreese back now again, did you like the fact that we got an actual fight with Johnny and Kreese? Because I thought it was a case of like,
it didn't get to where it needed to go.
No, but I always wonder as well, like Kreese to me is almost in that Emperor Palpatine level of bad guy. It's like you can talk like in the original, like in Return of the Jedi. You just hear about how powerful the Emperor is. You never see him fight. He doesn't have a lightsaber. All he does is the Force Lightning, which at that point we hadn't seen before, and it's a new thing. And that shows how powerful he is, but he doesn't have to be this big, flashy battle. And I always thought Kreese was a bit the same. Like, you know he's this weapon, but you don't actually have to show, especially considering the guy is now like 75 or whatever he is. But having said that, I enjoyed the fight. I did wonder for a moment, I thought, oh, Johnny is gonna kill him, even if it's an accidental, like, I'm gonna stab you and then I'll change my mind, but then at the last minute, oh fuck, you know. And
he knocked out Robbie.
Yeah, that's right. And and it's like he sort of stabs him, not accidentally, but the intent there wasn't to murder him, but he does still kill him, and then that opens up a whole new bag of worms for the show. But I think having Robbie kind of be the one to step in between them and choose Kreese over his dad, that was probably the right way to go.
I would have liked them to just say, no, we're not waiting until the tournament, we're going to kick your ass.
Yeah. Yeah. And seeing Daniel and Kreese face off was interesting too, because that was never a thing. So that was cool. I like that. But now we have to wait until season 4 for the tournament, which I thought was a nice tease. They talk about it for the latter half of season 3, but to set it up for season 4 rather than rush it in the last episode. Do you think, well, I have two questions. One, who wins the tournament? And two, is that the perfect way to end the show? Those 4 seasons, whole valley, end it where it started, and that's it. I'll go with you, Jared, first. Just to put you on the spot.
I like the idea of ending it with season 4 and one more tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think either of them should win. Just some random gym that's actually run by professionals who aren't lunatics. Yeah. Somebody who's just running a standard gym, like just some unassuming, like, dude. Oh yeah. No, we've been doing this for like 30 years and no, we haven't had anybody get hurt. Just some basic like average gym.
And Hillary Swank like, is the trainer.
And
really bring it back.
That's it.
And Hillary Swank is the sensei. Yeah. She's just like, oh, we've been doing this shit forever.
This is Miyagi-Do. I mean, I have a Miyagi-Do dojo up the coast.
Yeah, swank karate.
Yeah. Just something just Johnny and Dan just get, everybody loses. Like, none of them win. Like, Kreese, whoever Kreese has gets defeated or hurt and can't continue. And then, you know, whoever they end up, Johnny and Dan end up have just loses.
I love just what Jared's like, going with this.
You know what? So, It's just
Darren,
not
you're
worth
onto
it.
Something, man. I think it's a BJJ dojo. Someone comes in, since apparently a karate tournament can have multiple. They had capoeira and they had taekwondo in the last couple seasons. Let a BJJ kid get in there with those people, grab a leg, and just reap the living daylights out of them. I go, oh, you mean that was a better art form? Oh, okay, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, just whoever it is, whoever's fighting for Johnny Daniel just blows an ACL, and they're like, no, you can do this. Watch this crank it. He's like, are you crazy? My knee is jacked. I'm done. There's no reason to continue this. I'm not trying to crank it. I'm going to go see a doctor.
if you had to choose, because, I mean, realistically, someone is going to win it. As a character, I mean, not the dojos. Who would you put your money on? Miguel again, to be another two-time like Johnny.
I say they're going to lean on Miguel. Are they going to? So next, what does Eagle Fang Miyagi-Do like becomes like one at this point in the next season? If not, would be cool. That I think it's going to be Tori Sam. That is going to be the final round.
That's what I was going to say. I can see them. I can see them doing that at the very end. You think it's going to be built up as if it's going to be Miguel Robbie, but it's going to be because that helps with all the, you know, then the show can be woke and everything as well, which, you know, but that's a good way of doing it. Not just.
And that also leans back to the parallel to the original more of the bully. And you know, you get that Miyagi closure more than Robbie and Miguel. There's the link there to the past. That's what this show tends to lean on more, is, you know, kind of mirroring the past. And so I think with Tori and Sam, it would make sense with Sam winning.
And then she's, you know, second generation LaRusso to win the All Valley and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And she is still because Sam is still traumatized by Tori, because even in after their fight with the nunchucks and the bow staff and all that, like, she's still freaked out about it at the end. She's not like, oh, I'm okay now, I'm all right. She's still she's still frightened by the fact that if she has to fight Tori again. So you play on that and then you build that to the final thing and that would be all right. So, but that was my pick. I thought it'll come down to Sam and Tori and that will be the final confrontation kind of thing, and sure, you know.
Although I'm really confused as to how Tori's not in jail for this next season. Like, you clearly violated your probation by breaking into somebody's house.
Yeah, but they don't.
And
it doesn't seem like
the
they
fight.
Lean on the cops.
No. And do they have any proof it was them? I guess it wasn't. Like, they didn't get arrested or anything.
You're gonna think Daniel's got that nice of a house and there's not a
their
ring
cameras.
Camera up front?
That's true.
Or lock a door, right? Lock a door. What's up with these kids? Dude, I didn't even get it. We've been on here for a couple hours. I didn't even like go to my one favorite as a political to watch the city hall scene where they're trying to call to the public.
And let's be clear. There is no city hall that cares this much about an athletic tournament and a fight at a school.
Yeah.
That is so funny. Not especially not in an area where an affluent area. They're just burying the damn thing. That didn't happen. They're shutting the news down.
Johnny, that's council person.
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Just the fact that you got to see as well.
Oh, thank you for your service, Mr. Kreese.
Yeah. Like all the, I like the fact that all the, after all the tension and all the battles and all the hatred between all three of them with Johnny and Daniel and then the two of them against Kreese and all that, they all have to just sit there together. Like, they all sit down in the seats next to each other and it's like as if they're just regular people. And I thought that shot and with Kreese in the middle, I thought it was perfect, because it's like, if you just saw that photo out of context, you'd be like, what's going on?
I love the hell out of that scene, because it was like, look, people get bullied. I work in education. I've seen kids not be able to stand up for themselves, and horrible things happen to children. And I'm going to get real here for a second when I'm not making fun or being comedic on a show. Work on a lot of bills that are like anti-suicide bills for K-12 kids here in America. to make sure that they have someone to talk to and someone to listen to. And I'm a big proponent of the belief of martial arts teaches kids how to stand up for themselves, gives them that sense of ability and that sense of confidence. So that was another one of my oh hell yeah moments when the kids are like, look, I'm going to get bullied. Either it's going to be my boss, it's going to be my neighbor. These people are going to exist my entire life. Give me something. Give me a tool that I can rely upon that gives me confidence to know that they can't hurt me so that I can build upon everything else. Once you know you have personal safety and personal confidence and you know that your body is safe because you have the ability to do that, the ability for you to be more confident in general is great. And that's what I was super excited about.
Mm-hmm. Well, with
that. That's why she should kick Tori's ass.
Yeah. In a mud wrestling pit. Fuck it. No.
Okay, isn't Tori like 23 years old or something?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that would be that would be like the typical, you know, 80s fucking thing, you know, like where they just ridiculous okay. shit. And the fucking, like we said, the keyboard warriors and the fucking neck beards, you know, these chicks shouldn't be fighting.
Yeah, they should be. Dude, okay, I thought that final scene in the courtyard of Miyagi-Do, I thought they were going to go for the best around for that. That was the song. But when they leaned on Phil Collins, the last one was like, oh!
I do like that idea, though. I think now I don't want to hear the best, you're the best around until that final, the Rocky III freeze frame. That's what,
that's what we're waiting for.
That Jared had the idea for before. That's perfect. Yeah. Just like ding, ding. Yeah. And then off it goes. And that's. You've waited 4 years to hear it, and here it is, and it's the last, you know, it's the music over the credits of the final episode.
I say they do it right, and they do 6 seasons in a movie. Let's see them do it.
I mean, if the show could continue on and be compelling from season 4, there's no reason why it can't, but I mean, I just
think... What has to happen? Well, you're gonna put Sam in a wheelchair? Tori can't compete in the next All Valley because she gets hurt or hit by a car. And she has to wait one more year to do another All Valley tournament when she's definitely under 18 because it's an under 18 tournament.
It's she gets hit by a bus like Mean Girls.
Boom, gone. Or you get real super corny and it's the two little boys, the two smallest kids in the dojo are the last ones.
Oh, that's right. He dropped the F-bomb too, that kid. They beat the fucking shit out of me. I was like, whoa, all right.
Okay, kiddo.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, freshman. Chill.
But as we wrap up, I thought we'd just sort of go around and see any particular like favorite things or that we missed or any sort of favorite moments you feel we haven't touched on.
Yeah, well, we need to talk about the great sequences with Johnny and Miguel involving learning Facebook as an adult. That was some of the funniest stuff. Was the staged photos and just when Miguel asked, you didn't go through and like all her photos, did you? That's desperate. I was dying at that whole thing. And just the staged photos against the murals and stuff, just how corny all that was.
Right. The photos with the leaning back on the, on the angel wings. That was amazing.
Dude, I hope those pics that he had
when Miguel were actual asked
model pics.
I think they were. I think they are.
Oh, they had to be.
Legit.
I don't have time to grease up.
Well, yeah. When Miguel asked him, do you have any photos? And all he's got is stuff from the 80s. That was just so perfect. I loved every bit about that.
No, the painful part of that, dude, is those shots were probably from actual headshots from him trying to get work after Karate Kid.
Yep.
Yeah. It didn't come in like you thought it would.
You know, if you want... Bill Simmons did an interview with him right around the release of this season on his podcast with Billy Zabka. And it was great. And he talks about how he was trying to break roles and the methodology he was using to take some stuff and all that. And so it's actually a good listen to, you know, kind of how his career went and what he thought, you know, happened and, you know, him trying to avoid being like pigeonholed as a school bully and stuff like that. It's really worth a listen.
I'm on it.
Yeah, because that's the thing. In any other movie at that time, like he could have been Daniel LaRusso. Even, you know, like he could have been the main character kind of thing. But then I guess they wanted more of an underdog. Daniel's a bit smaller and things like that. But But yeah, he could have been in a lot of those movies where it's just as the sort of the all-American teen learns to, you know, Iron Eagle and all that kind of things.
Well, think about it. Back then, so few movies were being made. I mean, everybody's getting a movie made these days.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Yeah. So you once you're seen in one thing, it's hard for people to break away their idea of who you are.
Yeah.
I don't think you see typecasting anymore.
Except
with Martin Cove playing Kreese, he's definitely typecasting in.
Well, he always, to me, you watch those movies again, when if you rewatch them, to me it feels like he seems like they wanted Harrison Ford and they couldn't get him. He seems a bit like a poor man's Harrison Ford to me. Like, it does. Like, it, especially in the first movie, there's a lot of stuff where you're like, oh, I could see Harrison Ford doing this. You know, pre-Mumbles Harrison Ford. But, yeah, I don't know.
That was a little harsh, Greg.
Well, he does. He just mumbles now. but yeah, I think the typecasting thing, sometimes you do hear a lot about it. That's why you'll only be like, I'll do 3 Batman movies, but that's it. You know, I don't want to be Iron Man forever. It's like, but I think people are beyond that now. Like,
It's sure easy to stop being Iron Man when your entire house is made of gold after all the money you've made off of it.
That's the thing as well. They're like, we'll offer you at a point.
Let me put my feet up on this solid gold ottoman over here for a second.
Well, that's it. Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do with that $40 million? Throw it on the pile. Yeah, it's the Mr. Burns thing. Yeah. But yeah, after a while, like they always say, everyone's got a price. It's like, yeah, but if you've, what's another $40 million if you've already got $500 million? And you don't really want to do it. You'd be like,
yeah.
So, but anyway, but yeah. Any other sort of highlights, Mateo?
I hit mine in the City Hall. I love that City Hall scene. I thought it wrapped up a lot of stuff, and it was good to bring them together. See, that had a good transition between two characters resolving each other. Why couldn't they resolve other like the Hawk thing? Hawk Dimitri could have had a moment, something that brought them together.
Yeah, they could have bonded over front wedgies or something.
Something, right? I did. Okay, you know what we didn't talk about? I love the fact that Dimitri Yaz pulled back with his cast.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. I thought she when she steps up to help him in a real sweet way. That was the sweetest dick joke I've ever seen.
And then when they're making out and she's like, ew, gross, I'd never kiss him.
Yeah. That was pretty funny. Yeah.
For every Ducky character ever written into an 80s film who never gets his comeuppance, good for Dimitri.
Yep. Well, on that dick joke, I think that might be a good place to leave it. It's true to form. So before we leave, though, please follow us on Twitter. The show is at UnfunnyNTangent. I'm at GregT13. Jared is at SuperJew75. And Mateo is at Matt_Morales. A reminder to check out our site at unfunnynerdtangent.com. Like I said, if you're desperate for more Karate Kid content, there is our other season 1 and 2 review if you haven't heard that already, and there's my article on the Karate Kid movie itself. But don't forget to head to the steelcageshop.com. you can buy one of our fantastic Mon Milfma t-shirts. She's the queen of soft style, as we like to say. But that's it for episode 112 of Unfunny Nerd Tangent. My name is Greg, and for Jared and Matt, thanks so much for listening. And remember, kids, light beer is for pussies. I wanna rock!